Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio program as we talk about the LA Rams back on track after no win November. The Rams tied for the top record in the NFL in the month of December as they get back on track. But did they get any swag back, or are the Jags just bleeping terrible? Urban Meyer's team. We talk about that and more right now in hour number two. Waking up from the slumber, welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we are all show and no go, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the pursuit, the trivial pursuit of Jock Talk, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the North Woods. And we are back at it again this hour, and our lead coming from the Los Angeles area in the hood in Inglewood, a stadium that will be playing host to the Super Bowl in a few months, in February of 2022, and so early February, so we're a couple months away from the big event on the calendar, and the Rams looking to get back on track against Jacksonville. Chances are you did not watch this game. It was not a nationally prominent game. It was expected to be a blowout, and it was a blowout, in case you missed it. Matthew Stafford lighting up Jacksonville, 295 yards, and not one, not two, but three touchdowns as the Rams curb stomped the Jags 37-7. The final at SoFi Stadium. Sony Michel, the expat, running for 121 yards, and he didn't really break a sizable run until the final carry, final run of the game for him. Late in the game, he had like a 25-yard run or something like that. But most of the runs were not that long. But he ended up with 121 yards and a touchdown. And the Rams get off the schneid and improve to 8-4. And they end the three-game losing streak. The Jags drop to 2-10 for Urban Meyer. But the focus here is on the Rams, and I really felt bad for the trolls. It was a tough Sunday for the trolls. Really could take that one out and you know, kind of tap out of things for 24 hours. But let's discuss the question: are the Rams back on track now, or are the Jags just terrible? So are the Rams back on track, or are the Jags just terrible? The arrow on this one is pointing towards the Jags just being puke. Okay, now I've got Witch's Brew, 1990s rock band, and commuter car. And we will combine all of these things together, and that will be the foundation of the nation for this Maller monologue. So number one. This was just what the doctor ordered for the Rams. The Rams, they went online. They said, I hear my symptoms. Doc, help me out. And the doc said, well, let me look here. It says you had November nausea. You had no win November and all that. And you're heading towards the doorway to disaster. So you need to take a couple of these things and get that foul taste out of your mouth. Mission accomplished. The Rams have the top record. They're tied for the top record in the NFL in the month of December. They are as good as anyone in the month of December. Playing Jacksonville was the bubbling witch's brew. Just the spell that you needed. Now, regardless of that, it is nothing to shout about and dance and celebrate good times, because you don't get swagger back by drawing blood from dropping a tomato can off the side of a building. You don't get any excitement out of that. Matthew Stafford was bedazzling in this game. He played like the guy who was leading the MVP race in the NFL after eight games. We've talked about that if the season had ended after 8 weeks, Matthew Stafford would have been the MVP. And then he went into a slump, and now he's getting out of it, a 295-yard day, 3 touchdowns for Stafford, taking advantage of the frosting on top of the Jag cake. Nice little cupcake Jacksonville has. Cooper Kupp scampering up and down the field. Odell Beckham scoring another touchdown. Well, that's tough now. 2 games in a row, OBJ has gone end zone, found pay dirt for the Rams. The top 3 receivers all scoring touchdowns. It was, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, that kind of day. Now, secondly, while you don't gain any swag from beating Jacksonville, the most important development, in my observation, on the Rams-Jacksonville game was that Sean McVay started to address some of the issues that the Rams have had the last few weeks, and he's adjusting. That's what great coaches do. They tweak as the season goes on, and you iron out the kinks. And the Rams, it's hard to know if it's going to work or not, but based on at least the effort, they were trying to break the bad habits that they had fallen into. And they had become a finesse team, and Sean McVay trying to put his foot down on that, make some alterations, change the mindset, and rather than just blindly having 3 receivers out on the field, 95-99% of the time, the Rams went jumbo. They went jumbo package multiple times early in the game using 2 tight ends by Rams standards. This is like a 1990s band, Smash Mouth, right? All-star. Bring the Smash Mouth football. Sony Michel running early and often, attempting to strike some balance on offense, keeping the opposing team honest, at least giving future opponents something to think about. And if the Rams can bottle this, and it's a big if, but should they be able to, while this is not a game you get your swag back, it's going to scare the rest of the NFL. Because if the Rams can shift from finesse to physicality and become a multi-dimensional offensive operation, then when the Rams eventually are going to have to go on the road in the playoffs because of the fact they're going to be a wild card team, more likely than not based on the losing streak, then you're going to have to go into Lambeau Field and win a game in a cold environment. You're going to have to go into some other places where the weather is not ideal for a West Coast, I say dome team, but according to the NFL, the Rams don't play in a dome, even though there's a roof on SoFi Stadium. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. But it certainly helped that the Rams were up comfortably, and that allowed them to run. All right, final point. So on the other side, Urban Meyer, man, his team continues to be the commuter car stuck in rush hour gridlock traffic, just idling, burning gas. That is Jacksonville, and they're not showing any real signs of progress. And I took Jacksonville plus the points. I actually lost the game in Benny versus the Penny. We pick every game there. One of the thinking was, well, even in a situation like this, Jacksonville, the Rams are really scuffling. Jacksonville will be able to show something. And unless you are looking at a 16-7 deficit at halftime being a big accomplishment for Urban Meyer's team, that's about the only positive you can take out of this, that at least at halftime, you were only down by 9. Right? There's a feather in the cap for Jacksonville. But Trevor Lawrence, the most damning statement that can be made about Trevor Lawrence is that even when being boat raced, he's been unable to put up numbers. And typically, even if you're a young player and you're at a bad team, that's one of the things you can take advantage of. And Trevor Lawrence continues to be motionless in the passing game, and not even the garbage time statistic, the stat bandit that we see so much of in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence hasn't even been able to do that. The offense, whether it's a blowout or whether it's a close game, is humdrum. It's as dull as dishwater, and so you look at the big picture, and the Jags, they ought to move to Oregon. They should move to boring Oregon because that's the way they played all year. Urban Meyer's team now 2-10 on the year. He has, I think the number is twice as many now losses as any team he's coached during 17 seasons on the collegiate gridiron and bouncing around. We know him from Florida and Ohio State, but he was also at Utah and Bowling Green, and this is the very bottom there, and the Jags have 5 games left. Now, they have 2 games that are winnable. They play the Texans again, who they lost to begin the year, and Jacksonville plays at the Jets, also a winnable game. So, assuming they win both of those games and lose the other games, then this is a 4-13 season. And despite all of that, Urban Meyer is not going anywhere. And if you gave me $1,000 and said, what's going to happen? I would say that Urban Meyer is going to continue on as Jacksonville's coach for another season, that he's in it for at least one more year. Now, I thought that all along, but with all of these massive college jobs open all around the same time and the trickle down, and you figured Urban Meyer's name was going to pop up somewhere, and it's likely through back channels that schools reached out to Urban Meyer to see if he was going to be willing to leave the NFL at the end of the year. And all of those jobs are about filled now. Oklahoma announcing that they've made their decision over the weekend. SC got the big jewel of the coaching search. And you look around, you're like, well, where is Urban going to go? The game of musical chairs, other than back to television and back to Fox to do TV, there is no landing spot for Urban Meyer. And he did not end up being connected with any kind of real substance to a high-profile coaching job. So he continues on. Now, next season, assuming that Jacksonville keeps Urban around and he does not quit for health reasons, and if the teams continue to play like this, then Urban at that point gets fired. He doesn't get another opportunity if it continues the way it's going right now. But, man, that is a lifeless, dreary, pathetic, disgusting football operation there in Jacksonville. My goodness. Holy cannoli. What the heck is that all about? All right, it is the Ben Maller Show as we press on. Let's go back to the Rams here. The Rams winning, playing more of a physical style of play by Rams standards after all that finesse stuff. And Matthew Stafford, who'd been in a slump, here is Sean McVay now talking about where his quarterback's at this point.
Matthew, he played like he's been playing. I think we were able to avoid, you know, just a couple of those little things that do come up. But he was a great leader today. He's always been a great leader, and he played great. Not in the least bit surprised.
All right, so there's Sean McVay. How about Matthew Stafford here on trusting and teaching the younger players? Well, that's just what I want to hear Matthew Stafford talking about.
Those guys can do it. And I've got all the faith in the world in Van and Ben and some of the guys that are younger that are getting kind of their first opportunities in this league. Push them because I know they can do it. You know, I wouldn't sit there and push them if I didn't think they could. Continue to find ways to help them learn.
Push it, push it, push it. That's a song, I think. It's an old song. All right, so there's the story there from the Rams and the Jags. We'll take more of your phone calls. You want to be part 877-99 on Fox 877. 996-6369. You want to join the festivities. Also on Twitter, you can give us real-time feedback during the show, and that's at Ben Maller and the Fifth Hour podcast. A lot of reaction via the email and the Facebook page. You can interact with the show on Facebook if you want to be part of that. And we'll have different things during the week. We need help from the Facebook mob. Ben Maller Show on Facebook, the Instagram page, Ben Maller on Fox. And you can be part of the Maller Militia and join the festivities. Straight ahead, it is a call of duty. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Have the lambs stopped screaming?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
If I got run over by a John Deere, going back to prison Christmas Eve, you can say there's no such thing as karma, but be it drinking Brian, he believes. She'd been snorting too much meth. Brian begged her not to go, but her furlough, it was over.
So she stumbled out the door into the snow.
We are always looking to proliferate the Maller Militia, help our grassroots movement add new listeners to the Ben Maller Show, support our noble efforts by posting comments about the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. You have the power to influence others to join the cult of the Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
I got run over by the John Deere, going back to prison Christmas Eve.
Walls fan Jimmy writes in, he says, hey guys, if you and the crew were coaching Jacksonville, I believe they would have the same record. Well, Jimmy, I believe we would do better than that. We would have at least one more win. So I think we would get at least one more win out of Jacksonville. They lost to the Texans to begin the year. It's embarrassing. This whole season's been embarrassing. And that team beat Buffalo. Or should I say Buffalo lost. Gave that game to Jacksonville. But holy cannoli. That Jacksonville team, they are seven different dimensions of suck, the Jags. Brutal. Did not expect them to be that bad. That'd be a bad team, but they could be competitive and hang around. Not really. Just Josh from Cincinnati says, Urban Meyer has now lost more games in one season in Jacksonville than during his whole tenure at The Ohio State University. I foresee a medical issue coming on real quick. Jacksonville has lived up to their name and turned Urban into a Jag, just another guy.
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer! Yeah. We've upset listener Gordon in Waterloo, formerly Gordy of Ottawa. Gordy
who?
Says, where are the frickin' NHL scores, please, you idiot? So from Gordon. Eddie, would you like to appease Gordon in Waterloo? He's upset that there are no hockey scores.
Well, as you know, there's no bigger hockey fan on the network than I.
Yes.
On a Monday morning after an NFL Sunday, no chance. I will have one NHL note next hour, though. So that,
okay.
Maybe that will appease him. I don't know.
Yes, in an effort to pacify Gordon in Waterloo, Eddie will have a hockey fun fact slash note next hour. That'll be very exciting. That will
a
get
note of note, if you will.
A note of note. A note of note. Can't wait. Boy, that'll be amazing content.
Yeah, I actually think you might like it.
Okay.
I think you might.
I look forward to it. Like, there's other stories that if it wasn't a football Sunday into a Monday, like a Monday overnight here, that I would be all over. Like that, there's a fascinating story in college football that I think is good talk radio, and it's one of those gut-wrenching decisions, but I can't. It doesn't rise to the level of a Maller monologue right now. If it's still a story tomorrow, we'll talk about it, but the story going on at the University of Oregon is a fascinating story that this head coach, Mario Cristobal, who's from Miami, he went to Miami, played for Jimmy Johnson at Miami. He's from there, and he's been offered an $85 million 10-year extension to continue on as the Oregon Ducks coach. But the University of Miami is like, hey, we want you. Come back home. Come back to Miami. But Miami sucks right now. And it's unknown what the actual finances are that Miami is offering. So are you better off staying in Oregon and knowing that if Cristobal stays with the Ducks, he never gets to coach Miami. That door closes, I would assume, at that point. The powerful alumni are like, you turned us down. We don't want you now.
After the way Oregon played in the Pac-12 title game, the Ducks fans may not
be
all that unhappy about that. I mean, they
were roasted Duck by Utah.
Were they awful. They didn't even show up. Go trip into the Rose Bowl on the line. Don't show up.
How'd you like to be Manny Diaz, though, the coach at Miami?
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
Yeah. No, if Cristobal doesn't want the job, we're going to keep Manny Diaz. If the guy we really want doesn't want the job, we'll keep you around. You know, you're the fallback option. But anyway, it is a NFL. We're talking mostly NFL. Began the hour here ranting about the Rams and the Jags, and we'll take your calls at 877-99 on Fox, and to the phones we go, and let's say hello to Let's go to Jed Who Fled. Hello, Jed Who Fled in the great state of Florida. Hello, Jed.
How's going on, Ben? I don't know what's going on with society, man. The end of November, just recently, I'm sorry to go to the swimming world. Try not to drive into a concrete embankment listing out there, all of you.
What?
But a woman named Aaliyah Thomas, smashing records in the Ivy League, swimming, you know, my God, revolutionizing women's swimming. Bad news, 2 years ago, this person was swimming as Will Thomas and making the all-Ivy League teams as a man. And now the international or whatever it is, IOC, the Olympic Committee, is updating its guidelines. And now women,
Jed, hold on a second. Can I ask you a question?
You an answer. Absolutely.
What are you doing? What are you doing? You're going rogue. You're going rogue on us here. I just explained with Eddie that we're doing NFL conversations, what we're doing. What are you talking about swimming and what are you doing here?
Hey, dude, I'm doing NFL talk, man. You know how long I'm talking about swimming? Not for long. My bad, guys. Much love. Talk to you later.
All right. Yes. Hang up on you. Shame on you. You're going to the penalty box. It's a bad job by you. Speaking of the penalty box. The next caller lives in the penalty box. Credit card Gordon, we just mentioned he was complaining because Eddie did not give hockey scores. And now Gordon is on the phones, apparently. Hello, Gordon.
Yes, good morning, Ben.
Credit card Gordon from Waterloo.
Now, do I have to change the channel or can I get some hockey scores?
Yeah, here are the scores. 4-3, 3-2, 2-1. Boom. There are your scores.
For who, though?
Doesn't matter. I just gave you the scores. You didn't say you want to know who won. That's a new. That cost extra. Okay, what's wrong?
I had to go to the ballet last night, so I didn't get to watch television.
Well, how is that my fault? You didn't have to go to the ballet. You chose to go to the ballet, and good for you.
I was forced to go to the ballet.
All right, now let me give you the scores. Here, I'll give you the legitimate scores: 7-1, 6-4, 3-2, 6-3, 5-1. 3-2. Those are the finals in hockey.
But that's not really helping me, is it?
No, it is helping.
Well, you could have saved your money and bought an internet connection and looked up the scores yourself.
That's a good point. Yeah, they have this thing called
I just sent you another tweet.
Wait a minute.
I don't care about that.
Wait, so you do have internet?
Yeah.
No, my wicked stepmother fell asleep and I took her laptop.
So go to a website that gives scores, and then boom, problem solved.
NHL.com.
NHL.com. Thanks, Garcia.
Okay.
At least you're helpful.
What? Yeah. Very hard to figure out. What website would give hockey scores? It's very hard to figure that one out, Gordy. Yeah. Okay. I'm done. Thank you. I'm going to move. I'm done. Thank you. Jeez. The whole score thing, like when sports radio started, like the origins of sports radio were before the internet. It started in the late 80s. It was for gamblers. It was for mostly East Coast gamblers. It started in New York, 24-hour sports radio. So the guy who made the illegal bet on the West Coast baseball game, the scores wouldn't be in the newspaper, in the New York Daily News or the Post on Saturday morning from Friday night. So in order to give the scores, they have 24-hour sports radio. But those days are over now. Now it's more about the stories. It's not about the scores as much. Unless you're Gordon in Ottawa, who has to be in the running yet again. And we have many, many people in the running for the worst caller. But the fact that Gordon here in December of 2021 is calling up, depending on this show, to give hockey scores, when he is online and could clearly find hockey scores, and then needs us to direct him to a website to give hockey scores. Craziness.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
A lot of old-timers getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Let's see. We got Gil Hodges, Minnie Minoso.
Minnie Minoso. When we were kids, Eddie, every 10 years, he'd come back and play a game.
Tony Oliva, Jim Cott, and someone named Bud Fowler, who I'm not familiar with, all elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh, Buck O'Neill as well. I didn't want to apologize for missing him. Buck O'Neill, former Negro League player, also going into the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, Jim Cott, a longtime broadcaster for years and years on television after a
still
long...
doing it, right? I think he's still doing it.
Yeah,
MLB Network?
MLB Network, in trouble. Yeah. I think he got in trouble last year during the playoff game.
What did he do?
The Wokesters got upset. He said, he phrased something inappropriately about, was it the, what team was he? Was it the Astros? Yeah, I remember there was an internet controversy. Jim Cott had said something. I'd look it up, Eddie, but I forget exactly what he said. But there was like a 20. He had to apologize, and it was awkward. But Jim Cott,
just Google it, right?
Just Google it. If you're really interested, Gordy and Waterloo, just yeah. Google it. Figure that out. All right, the Maller Militia, a lot to say. A late night drug tester says credit card Gordon dropped the ball, giving up a chance to preview the Grey Cup on Sunday. That's a bad job by him. Francis, the truck driver, says, when are we going to get an update on the Major League Soccer playoffs? Well, that's really up to the news guy. That's up to him. I imagine that'll be coming up in several days.
Fifth hour.
The sixth hour. The fifth hour is a podcast. The sixth hour, that'll be when that happens.
Who does the podcast with you?
We've moved on now. Danny G Radio, Eddie. Yes.
Danny G will give you those scores then.
Yes, the great Danny G Radio making his return to the Maller Militia. He's now on the podcast on the Saturday and Sunday podcast. Not the Friday podcast. Danny G took over. Glad to have him. Justin in Cincinnati says, Gordon from Ottawa is a natural treasurer, but it's Canada, so who the F really cares? I think. Okay, back to the phones we go, and let's say hello to Chris in Houston. Hello, Christopher.
How dare you? How you had an audacity to do a Rams-Jaguar monologue and act like that's like they beat the best team in America?
Well, no, you weren't listening. You were not listening.
NFL team.
You were not listening. That's a bad job by you. And I pointed out that you don't get any swag points for beating Jacksonville. But I liked that the Rams went to a little bit of smash mouth. They're trying some things out. Now they got to do it against the better teams. But I liked that they were doing that. And did you see the Call of Duty celebration? My man, Odell Beckham Jr., after scoring yet another Ram touchdown. Because you can ram it all day and you can ram it all night. OBJ, he went down in a Call of Duty self-revive celebration after scoring his touchdown there. That is self-deprecating. I'm not done. That is self-deprecating by OBJ. That is saying, hey, I was down on my luck, but I'm coming back. I'm reviving my career in L.A.
Now, all that bloating you're doing now I know you cleaned up after yourself, huh? Because this is ridiculous. You need to cut it out with all that. You are so much of a fanboy. It's ridiculous. That's what makes you the overnight guy. You can't make it daytime because you can't keep your teams off the sleeves when you're talking.
No. The reason I'm doing overnights is because I'm not a Laker suck up and the usual teams that get the shows during the day, the people that suck up to LeBron James and
you're
the Lakers
so
and things like that. How am I biased? I said, again, I pointed out you don't get any swag points for beating Jacksonville. I said that. I mentioned that. You were not listening. So because you have selective hearing, that's a bad job of you. Now, I could have done a monologue about the protest at the Texans game, and a Yahoo.
Nobody want to talk about that.
No, listen, I want to talk about that. We had a fan. We had a fan who stood in front of the owner's suite there and got booted out of the stadium there. He had a sign protesting the owner of the team as the team ended up going out losing, was it 31-0?
Who's that guy? I need to go join that guy with a sign of my own. Because let me straight out right now. The Texans are hot garbage. They're not even that trash that you just put in. They are hot garbage. Roberto, make sure you make that a drop. Okay? Now, look here.
No, you can't ask for a drop. But now, Chris, I thought this might be a friend of yours, like a coworker, because he held up a sign.
He could be a friend of mine, because believe me, I'm tired of watching this hot garbage.
Well, no, hold on a second. He held up a sign that said, "Hey, Tommy boy, Cal, sell the team." And that was
the Tommy boy.
Yeah.
Ben, believe me, I brought this up a long time ago, that these owners, that when an owner dies, the NFL need to have a rule for these kids that get these teams, that they need to have like a 5-year window or something, man, that if they can't get the team to be competitive, they need to sell the team. Because these kids, you look at, like, I mean, the Lakers, they getting torn down by LeBron because Jeannie Buss has, you know, I'm going to leave that alone.
Listen, Jeannie Buss failed as an owner. The Lakers were a disaster. They haven't won a championship since Kobe Bryant left. There's no legitimate championships there with the Lakers. But Jeannie Buss was such a failure, she just handed complete control of the Lakers to LeBron and said, "Do whatever you can, LeBron. I'm out." And LeBron has assembled the 2011 All-Star team that the Lakers are playing. Well, anyway, thank you. I got to go. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. The next ownership change, well, not the very next, but if you look at down the line, the Kraft family, Robert Kraft, who enjoys a nice massage, he's getting up there, and when he meets the pearly gates there, his kid's going to take over. So it's going to stay in the Kraft family. Jonathan Kraft is running a lot of the operation anyway with the Patriots, but that's the next family, football family, that's going to take over ownership, passing the baton down the line. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. We're going to have Maller to the third degree. We've got that percolating right now. Here's the instant trivia. 49er tight end George Kittle in a loss. How about that? The Niners losing to Seattle. Whew, what happened there? Anyway, 49er tight end George Kittle had his third career 175-yard game, passing blank for the most by a tight end in NFL history. Again, George Kittle had his third career 175-yard game, passing blank for the most by a tight end in NFL history. That's the Insta Trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here is the instant trivia. 49er tight end George Kittle at his third career 175-yard game in a loss to Seattle, passing blank for the most by a tight end in NFL history. That is the question. What is the answer? And a bunch of answers coming in. Alf, the alien opiner from Springfield, Mass., home of the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, going with Phil Kessel as his answer. Fine guess. Who else do we have? Page down. Your birthday boy, Andrew Cuomo. It's a tough weekend for the Cuomos there. Late night drug testers answer. The nature boy, Ric Flair, from Rob in Vegas. That is his answer. Vanessa Hudgens, guessed by the Dixter account. Pam Oliver from Mr. Nice Guy. Greg Olson, tossed out by Brad. Who else do we have? Page down. Cosmo Kramer from Sean in the Valley of the Sun. Charles is going with Lawrence Welk as the answer. Robbie, the Mariner fan, says it is Tony Gonzalez. Eddie, what say you, Eddie?
Oh, this is a tough question.
Okay,
Ben,
that's right. Thank you.
Let's go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski.
The Gronk. No, that is incorrect. The saucy guy got it right. He even had a photo. The answer is Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is the answer. So George Kittle passing. Shannon Sharp by in the record book. Who knew? Well, you know now.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So TMZ caught up with Kenny Smith over the weekend, who then blasted Tom Thibodeau's benching of Kemba Walker, saying that Walker is a Ferrari and Tibbs just doesn't know how to drive. Ben, agree or disagree?
All right, so I disagree. I've seen Kemba the last couple of years. He was with the Celtics, and he's get traded to Oklahoma City and got the buyout. He's a BMW with 300,000 miles on it that's headed to the salvage yard. That's Kemba Walker at this point. He's bounced around the NBA. And the idea of Kemba Walker is better than the reality of Kemba Walker. He's an erratic shooter. He's got chronic arthritic knees, and he cannot play defense. He's a liability on defense. Other than that, he's fine. Next!
Barry Bonds is in his final year of eligibility. Now,
I don't know what cheating is.
To this point, he'd never received more than 61.8% of the required 75% to make the cut. Now, John Heyman of MLB Network revealed that he had added Bonds to his ballot this year, saying that what he did before 98 is enough to get him in. Apparently he didn't take anything before 98, according to, you know, people. Ben, are you down with that logic?
No, listen, John Heyman's a hack. He's, you know, typical hard-o baseball writer looking for attention. If you're anti-steroid, then you're anti-steroid. Jeffrey Dahmer was a great guy up until he started eating people on a cannibal diet. Before that, he was a fine human being. Listen, we have said for several years since they started putting steroid guys in, Piazza, Bagwell, Rodriguez, Pudge Rodriguez, let them all in. That's our position. Heyman's a dope. Next.
Mac Jones is likely the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year, and many are marveling at how quickly Bill Belichick has bounced back from losing Brady. Ben, we've been talking about Belichick's replacement for a long time now, but do you think he might stick around for a lot longer with the future seeming so bright with Mac Jones?
Well, what's your definition of a lot longer? So he's going to turn 70 in April. The oldest coach in NFL history was 72. The oldest interim coach was Romeo Crennel at 73. I'll give Belichick four more years with the Patriots. How'd we do?
You pass this edition.
That's the winner. Put it on the board. Cha-ching, cha-ching.